I want to thank you all for your support during our loss of my darling Catherine. And here we have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren worshiping the Lord. A little two-year-old keeping time with the music. God, our Father, has made all of this possible, and He loves each of us the same. And my wife of 75 years went to be with the Lord, but He has put an upward look, hope into the heart of every man. I hope you have that hope this morning. The very greatest of His great plan, He put hope into the heart of every one of us. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, good morning, New Life Church. Good morning. So glad that you have decided to come from what I call the scattered community, where we're all kind of living life and kind of going through what life brings us on our own, to the gathered community, where we can hear a testimony like what Travis said just a few moments ago and have our hearts encouraged and celebrate together what God is doing. And so I pray that God is already speaking to you, that you already are encountering Him this morning. You know, it's been an interesting week. You know, Mark talked about that weather. I feel like I've been lied to, I'll be honest. I was told there was no humidity, and there was humidity this week. I was told it would not rain in the summertime, and it rained on Tuesday. So I'm expecting some more surprises along the way, but no, it's actually been really good, and man, we're just excited about what God has been doing and is going to be doing, especially this coming week. We have a really unique opportunity this coming week. If you are new to New Life, you may not be aware of it, but if you've been here a while, you are probably aware that each year we have the opportunity to host the Global Leadership Summit, and it's just an awesome time for us to gather together and to allow God to speak to us. It's something that has been on my radar screen at my former church and throughout my life for about the last 12 to 13 years. I have consistently been a part of the Global Leadership Summit. We actually had the opportunity to host it at the Woods Church where I came from. And it was always a time where I kind of allowed God to interrupt the rhythm of my life, right? There's just something unique about allowing God to kind of step in, and you kind of get up every day and you go through your regular routine or whatever. And when you go on a retreat or you kind of step outside of that, it seems like your spiritual antenna just go up and you have an opportunity to hear God with clarity. And He might have been trying to say something to you for quite some time, but you just haven't had the opportunity to narrow in and listen. And the GLS for me has been one of those times where I just kind of get away and I get out of my normal routine and I just press into God. And I have seen God move in a powerful way, not only in my own life, but in the lives of others, where He has birthed dreams in that moment. Or He has put together, He has given somebody a dream that maybe they've been scared to step out into the deeper waters with, but all of a sudden He begins to partner that with practical ways of implementing that dream in their life. A friend of mine from back home, Matt and Nikki Catherentia, they were at the GLS, and God spoke to them about the fact that he wanted them to begin a 501c3 that enabled not only their family, who their son Tino is on the autistic spectrum, but also to help equip others who had children who had special needs and be able to provide regular aid. And eventually that 501c3, which was started many years ago, has now turned into an opportunity for churches to begin special needs ministries through that 501c3. God birthed that in their heart at GLS. And I've seen him do that type of thing again and again and again. So if you're considering being a part of the GLS this coming week, this Thursday and Friday, I would encourage you to go online or stop by our Welcome Center to find out more how you can be a part of that. If you've been on the fence and not quite sure whether or not you wanted to participate, I'd encourage you to clear your calendar. Whenever we kind of clear space for God to speak to us, I always have discovered that he truly speaks to us. Well, we've been in this series called Abide, and we're going to be kind of anchoring ourselves in John 15 over the next several weeks. I pray that some of you, if you weren't here last week, just as a reminder, we have been spending or attempting to spend 15 minutes each day in John 15, allowing God to just kind of speak to us and speak, press into him in that way. And we're encouraged about the transformation that God is beginning to make, not only in our own lives, but we're seeing it throughout the church. And one of the things that I'm reminded when we think about this idea of abide is it's not just about having the desire to abide. I think sometimes we find ourselves, we're like, you know what, I have the desire to abide. I want to. But true transformation doesn't happen from desire alone. In fact, resolve will not transform what routine has created. Think about that for a moment. Resolve will not transform what routine has created. In order to truly discover the fullness of transformation that comes from abiding with God, from us abiding in him and him abiding in us, we have to be willing to develop new patterns in our lives. We have to discover what new life actually looks like. In the book of John, there's an incredible story of grace that if you're a Christian, you've grown up reading God's word, you're probably familiar. Not if you're new to the word, this might be the very first time you've ever heard this story. But basically, there's this woman who was caught specifically in the act of adultery. There was no question whether or not she was wrong. There was no question that it was just maybe a rumor or somebody heard that somebody said that she was having an affair. No, literally, her accusers caught her in the act of adultery, and imagine the shame that was taking place in that particular moment as they drug her into the village where everybody knew her business, naked. All her shame and sin on display. Her accusers stood around her, and Jesus was there at this particular moment, and her accusers were trying to not only shame her, but also trap Jesus. He said it's according to the law that this woman should be stoned. And Jesus sees this angry mob standing there with these stones in their hands, and he kneels down and he begins to doodle. I don't know if it's really in the Hebrew that way, but it's a good Greek word, right? Doodle. He begins to doodle in the ground, and he says, "Let the one who has not sinned cast the first stone." One by one, her accusers begin to drop their rocks. When all of them have left, he looks at the woman and says, "Where are those who have accused you, have come to condemn you?" She says, "They're gone. They're gone." He says, "Neither do I condemn you." We hear that story and we say, what an incredible act of grace that our good, good Father has for us, that he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive us of our sins. I mean, it's an incredible act of grace. It's miraculous. And sometimes we miss the miracle in forgiveness. Sometimes we miss the miracle in what takes place when God rescues us from our brokenness, from our sinfulness. But so often in that particular story, we stop right there and we think, hey, that's the miracle. That's where it stops for me. And we miss what Jesus continues to say to her. He's rescued her. He's not brought condemnation upon her or shame. He's brought grace. She has a new lot on life, a new and fresh beginning. And he says this, "Now go and sin no more." A new pattern, a new way of thinking, a new way of acting, a new way of believing, a new rhythm of her life. See, we like to focus on the miracle, and the miracle is awesome. But The lasting aspect of a miracle is when we discover how to live into new patterns in our life. Sometimes I'll have people come to my office, and quite often I have the privilege of journeying with them through some of life's most difficult circumstances. Maybe their marriage is on the rocks, or maybe they're struggling in a relationship, or maybe it's something going on at work or a job or an addiction that they have in their life. And they'll come and they'll sit down in my office, and what they're asking is, God, can God do a miracle? Can God fix this? Can God change my life? Can God do something miraculous in my life? And essentially what they're asking is there a shortcut here? Can God kind of just wave his hand over me and make all of this go away? And what we have to, again, remember is that every lasting miracle is always followed by a new routine. And unless we discover new patterns, we'll never discover the freedom that God has for us. Every new beginning, whether it's a marriage or your spiritual life or freedom from addiction, always involves new patterns. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to open up to the book of John. John is in the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. It's one of the Gospels. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then the book of John. And we're going to be in John chapter 15. I'm going to reread the portion of scripture we unpacked last week and begin to share a little bit there, but then kind of move on into some further verses here in just a moment. John chapter 15, starting at verse 15, says this. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now again, if you're familiar with that particular passage, you've probably read it maybe 100 times. If you're not familiar and you're just hearing it for the very first time, I want you to understand that there's a pattern that Jesus is developing. He knows how difficult the journey is going to be for these particular disciples. He knows how difficult the journey is going to be for you and for me. And he knows that they've been following up to this point and they're beginning to understand the fullness of who he is. But if they're going to see the lasting transformation of what it means to follow him, they're going to have a new pattern. And here's the pattern that develops in this particular portion of scripture. Simply this, abide, produce fruit, be pruned. Abide, produce fruit, be pruned. I want you to turn to somebody next to you and say the word abide. And find somebody else and say, produce fruit. And finally, this is the difficult one, we'll get here. Find someone that you say, be pruned. Not be a prune, be pruned. Well, let's unpack these kind of help wrap our arms a little bit better around these concepts. This idea of abide, what does it really mean? Is it just desire? Hey, I have this desire to abide with God. No, it's deeper than that. It's richer than that. To abide means to be shaped into the image of Christ. For there to be less of me and more of him. To abide with him requires me sitting there going, okay, God, how can I reflect you in greater ways? I'm tired of reflecting my sinfulness and my broken identity and the things of this world. God, I want to abide in you. And in order to abide in you, I want it to be shaped further into your image. So how do we do that? Some of them are fairly, no pun intended, low-hanging fruit. We abide in his word. It is through his word that we discover the character and nature of God in greater ways. And what he is calling us to. Some people ask me, Pastor, how do I begin to understand the scripture? Like sometimes my mind kind of goes foggy when I begin to read through his word. And that's why I don't spend time in his word. And I simply say this. From Genesis to Revelation, if we just begin with this framework for scripture, we would grow in deeper ways of who God is. And the framework is simply this. The scripture is designed to reveal to us the character and nature of God. The scripture is designed to reveal to us the brokenness and sinfulness of humanity, most specifically me. And the scripture is designed to share with me that God is going about redeeming and setting me free. If every passage that we read, if every passage that, or chapter that we began to read through, if every book that we began to read from beginning to end within the scripture, we would approach with that framework and ask ourselves, what is it revealing to me about the character and nature of God? Because if we began with that, we begin to ask ourselves, okay, if that's what it's revealing about God and I'm called to reflect God, then what does it look like to allow him to shape me in such a way that I would look like him more? His character's nature. And I'd begin to discover that I can't do it on my own, because all you have to do is read through the Old Testament and see the Israelites try to do it on their own and the disciples try to do it on their own, and it doesn't work out too well. It requires this radical dependency upon God. And if you ever question, if you ever have questions about where do I look for the fullest revelation of who God is, look to the Gospels and the person of Jesus Christ, his one and only Son. It is in him, his life, his death, his resurrection, that we discover most fully the heart of our good Father. And so we begin to understand what it looks like to abide and be shaped further into the image of Christ by discovering what it means to abide in his words. We also begin to understand that as we abide in his spirit, as we surrender our lives to Christ and receive his forgiveness for our sins, and God places his Holy Spirit within us, and his Holy Spirit takes up residency, and all of a sudden, we have another voice in our life rather than the voice of our flesh. Now, it's challenging, right? Because your whole life, my whole life, I have listened to the voice of my flesh, my wants, my desires, what I think is appropriate. And all of a sudden, I had the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to me saying, let me order your steps. Let me shape your ways. And we do this and we get a better understanding of his voice as we begin to listen more intently through times of prayer and have conversation with him. My daughter Alexandra was my first child. She's my oldest. And when she was born, I they didn't give me a manual or anything, so I wasn't quite sure how to really be a dad or any number of things. And so one of the things that was challenging for me is, you know, she was just one kid amongst many kids in some ways. My wife was much better at this. She immediately was able to recognize my daughter's voice in the midst of a crowd, but I wasn't as good at that. Maybe it was because I enjoyed sleeping. Come on, dads, you know what I'm talking about. I didn't even hear the baby scream last night. I don't know what you're talking about. But as she grew older and I spent time with her, I rocked her. And she began to speak in broken words and then sentences. She could be in the whole nursery full of kids. And I would know her cry. And I'd know when she said, Daddy. And I know right where she was. I knew her voice. She knew mine. So discovering what it means to abide is beginning to attune our ears and our hearts to how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, how he orders our steps, how he cautions us, and where he's leading us. And then we abide in God through walking in his ways. Discovering what it looks like to partner in concert with him in order to live out this whole thing that he calls the kingdom of God that Jesus began establishing and empowers the church through his Holy Spirit to continue to live out. It's why we host something like the GLS, because it's not just on Sunday morning that we ask ourselves, what does it look like to allow the kingdom of God to come alive? But it's in our businesses, it's in our homes, it's in the various aspects where we have influence and live our lives that we're asking, okay, God, how do we establish your kingdom? We have to know the heart of the king if we're going to establish the kingdom. So we begin to talk about what it means to be kingdom entrepreneurs. And what I love about God is that he invites us to participate with him, to work in concert with him. Now, there is a part of me that doesn't fully understand why he chose to go to this direction. Like, part of me says, God, why don't you just do all this on your own? Like, you're perfect and holy and I am not. So why didn't you just go off on your own and figure out how to do all of this so that you didn't involve us? Because I feel like so often I mess these things up. And if you read throughout the scripture, I think you discover the answer to that he desires relationship with you. He desires relationship with me. And so he invites us into his work. When I was a young kid, my dad would ask me to help him with some project around the house. And essentially what helping him meant was standing behind him, holding nails and tools and handing them to him. But as I got older, my dad began to invite me to be a part of the cool stuff, right? He began to invite me to be part of the cool stuff where he would say, David, I want you to go hammer that nail in that board. David, I want you to go take the drill and I want you to drill that hole and I want you to help me create this. And when the hammer was too heavy and I wasn't quite sure how to utilize it, he would take my hand and he would show me how to swing a hammer and he would show me how to hold the drill, show me how to saw a board. Your Heavenly Father invites you to be a part of the cool stuff of redemption and the restoration of this world. And in doing that, you discover what it means to abide in him and him to abide in you. How often do we abide? All the time. In his word, listening to his spirit moment by moment, walking in his ways. One of the most beautiful passages from the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, most of us have heard that particular passage. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. In fact, many of us could probably rattle that off in memory. But a couple of years ago, I was sitting there with a mentor of mine and we were kind of talking and discussing about that passage. And he said, did you ever notice at the end of the verse how rich of a calling there is? I said, no, what verse are you talking about? He said, have you ever looked at that verse that says, my cup overflows? It's a fascinating portion of the text that many of us just skip over, just recite, but never really think about. He says, do you know where that phrase comes from? I said, no, I'm not quite sure. He says it comes from the Hebrew tradition. When people would invite their friends and their family over, and there was a custom that everybody knew about, that they would hand you a wine glass, and as long as they kept your cup full, you were more than welcome to stay. But the moment they stopped filling your cup, it was time to go home. So God says, you don't have to go home. You don't have to leave. The psalmist articulates this even more later on in the scripture where he says, where can I go from your presence? If I go up to the heights of the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths below, you are there also. My cup overflows. You don't have to leave my presence. Abide in me. We abide in him, and he abides in us, we begin to produce fruit. Abide, produce fruit. And verse 7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, I love that. Again, don't miss it. That statement's kind of like a therefore statement. And if you ever see a therefore in scripture, you ask what it's. Some of you know that. And so this statement is kind of like a therefore statement. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then all of a sudden we begin to look at what it says after that. What's the fruit that bears? Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, some of you just got really kind of wide-eyed. You're like, oh, really? I can ask for anything? We're not talking about health and wealth gospel here. We're not talking about saying, God, make me rich. God, give me that ocean view. God, you know, give me anything that I want. The reason that we can ask for anything is because we're abiding in him. And that means his Holy Spirit's taken up residence in us. And we are no longer controlled by our sinful flesh, but we are controlled by the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we have the opportunity to ask, because our decisions of our life and the prayers of our lives are no longer dictated by my sinful, selfish flesh, but by the Spirit. And so he says, ask. Ask for really big things, because I want to allow my kingdom to come crashing into the kingdom of earth. And so he beckons us to pray big prayers. Allows us to be shaped by his Spirit. And the prayers that we pray bring him glory. And so when I pray, God, I'm finding myself suffering in this addiction, teach me new patterns, set me free from this addiction. I don't get the glory for that. He gets the glory for that. He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. He goes on to say, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. I don't know that we always think about his love abiding us being fruit, but what incredible fruit is that, to know that when we abide in him, that there's this freedom because of he loves us so much, that he stays there when we don't deserve it. It's one of my favorite aspects about my relationship with my wife and the covenant of marriage, is that she doesn't have to stay when I'm a jerk. Guess what? Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm stressed out and I'll snip at her. Sometimes I'm not worthy of her love. And yet the most beautiful aspect of marriage is when your spouse is so devoted to surrendering their life to Christ that they stand before you and say, the world says I can walk away. The patterns of this world say I can walk away at any moment because you're being a jerk, but I'm going to choose to stay and to love you in spite of yourself sometimes. God chooses to stay. It's not a freedom to take advantage of and just go do our own thing, but it's a freedom to reside in and go, okay, God, I know that I'm not going to be perfect. But I also know that you're not walking away, that your love never lets go, that you hang on to me again and again and again when I don't disconnect from you. I remember when the first iPods came out, the only way that you could sync, there was no cloud, there was no, you know, kind of internet kind of connection like we have today. But when the first iPods came out, you had this wire that would go from your iPod to your computer to sync all the information to iTunes. And if you weren't careful, you may not even remember this message, but if you weren't careful and you unplugged it too soon, everything would get messed up. Like, literally, everything would get messed up. My kids would try to listen to Justin Bieber, and they would get Barbra Streisand. Like, it would just wouldn't work. Because when you plug that into iTunes, it would say this, do not disconnect, because a sync was taking place. God says to us, do not disconnect. Abide in my love. My love will abide in you. He will shape us further into his image. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And again, I think we look at commandments and we go, man, God, are you like kind of drilling your thumb down? No, commandments of God, walking in his ways, are not about him oppressing us. If that's your view of God's commandments, you've completely missed the depth and breadth of Scripture. His commandments are all about your freedom. He recognizes that if you walk in his ways lead to life and life to its fullest. And if you choose not to walk in his ways, guess what? It ends in destruction every single time. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy your life. There is no making you feel uncomfortable. And so he gives us his commandments so that we can walk in freedom. I do not have a perfect marriage. I have a blessed marriage. And the reason I have a blessed marriage is because my wife and I have decided, you know what, we're going to choose to honor God in our lives, and we're going to submit to Him, and we're going to walk in His ways. And it's not going to be perfect all the time. And there's going to be times where, guess what? She is going to love me, but not like me. I never do that with her, but she does that with me sometimes. I always like you, honey. And it's so important for us to recognize that God is calling you to walk in His ways, that He might lead you to life and life to its fullest. And why would we not want to experience the fullness of life? Where in any other area of your life do you sit there and go, how close to the line of destruction can I get and still be okay? And yet we do that. We like draw a line in the sand and we say, okay, if that's the line of sin and I'm like good, I'm good on this side, but I'm not so good. This is destruction over here. Let's see how close to the line. I'll follow as, you know, few of God's commands that I can, walk in as few as God's ways as I can and get as close to the line of sin as I can and still be okay. I heard there's not a ton of snakes around here, but I heard if you kind of go start driving towards Arizona, you might come across some rattlesnakes. If I had a rattlesnake here this morning and I set it here on the platform, how many of us would want to play this game? How close to that rattlesnake can I get and still be okay? I wouldn't do that. And yet we play that game with the patterns of sin and destruction in our life all the time. Well, God, it's just too hard. It's too difficult. God says, no, my ways lead to life and life to its fullest. He says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Fruit, the joy of the Lord in us. When we walk in His ways, when we abide in His love, when we discover the character and nature of who God is through His word and His spirit. And up to this point of the year, there's probably many of us that say, you know what, I can kind of dig that. Yeah, I like the abide part. I like the bearing fruit part, produce fruit. That's really cool. But then we come to this last portion of this pattern, and this is where things get dicey. And we go, okay, be pruned. Oh, I'm not quite sure about that. The fact that God might be calling you to let go of something lesser in order to embrace something greater. And wouldn't it be plausible that if God has created us to enter into relationship with Him, and one of the ways that we enter into relationship with Him is by discovering new patterns in our life, wouldn't it be plausible that if that's God's design is to give us new patterns and new ways of living, that the enemy might actually know that, and he might be using broken, sinful patterns in our life to try to lead us to destruction? The Apostle Paul speaks to this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want to be really careful here because it doesn't say to somehow despise the world or hate the world. In fact, it says that God doesn't hate the world. He loves the world. For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross to forgive us of our sins. What God hates are the patterns of this world that leads His creation to destruction. And so always be careful of how we understand the world. Do not despise what God says He loves. But begin asking ourselves, what does it look like to not press into the patterns of this world? Because the majority of our problems, the majority of our sinfulness, the majority of destruction that happens in our life is due to the patterns. But the patterns are sometimes difficult to identify because we're so fixated on the problems, right? You talk to somebody and say, yeah, my marriage is out of sorts. If I could just fix her, if I could just fix him, then life would be better. The reality is that you are who you are. And you can either work out your junk with that person or the next person, but you're going to work out your broken patterns with somebody. We start to ask ourselves, what about this addiction issue that I have? There's an actor, Russell Brand, that I actually read an article about his struggle with addiction. It's not that I take a whole lot of advice from Russell Brand, but I thought there was some really good wisdom here. He talked about his substance abuse issues, and he says, I don't have a drug or alcohol problem. I have a reality problem. And drugs and alcohol are how I deal with my reality. Insert something different for you. Binge watching Netflix or sports or Fox News or any number of other things. That's how you deal with reality. Food, that's how I deal with reality. Pornography, that's how I deal with reality. Fill in the blank. And so we develop these patterns as we're trying to figure out how to deal with reality. And Jesus is saying, this is how you deal with reality. Abide. Produce fruit. And be pruned. It's always about changing the pattern. Now, I'm not a math genius. My wife, thankfully, I was dating her in college, engaged in college, and she helped me make it through college math. I mean, it was really, I was dependent upon her. But I have learned some things along the way, and one of the things that I love to do when I fly is I love to take out the magazine and look for the Sudoku puzzles that are in there, and it's all about patterns. And I remember the very first time I felt so proud of myself that I solved this challenging puzzle that I found in the magazine, and then somehow in the midst of solving that, I had missed the really big word that was next to it that said easy. And so I went to the medium one and I began to like sketch in and erase and change everything down. And I kind of got through that one. And then I went to the hard one and I just kind of gave up after a while and kept looking at the answers in the back of the book in order to fill it out. Because so often it's really easy to kind of think about the problem or kind of where we want to head, but it's really difficult to identify the pattern that's getting us there. And if you ever want to change the product, if you ever want to change the solution, if you ever want to change the end result, you have to take a look at the pattern. This is seen throughout mathematics. In fact, we can even use some of that language. The end result is often called the solution or the product. The entirety of the equation is called the problem. If I gave you this pattern, 111 times 6, basically 111 plus 111 plus 111 plus 111 6 times. Guess what the solution is going to be every single time? 6, 6, 6. We talked last week about the idea of the number 6 being the number of humanity. And some of you, when you hear that, like it conjures up all kinds of images from scary movies from when you were young. And you're sitting there going, okay, that's not a number that I want in my life. If you want to change the product or the answer, you got to change the pattern. And so it requires you going 7 times 111, 111 plus 111 plus 111, 7 times. Because if you don't do that, then guess what? You're going to get every time you go 111 plus 111, 6 times. You're going to get 666 every single time. But the moment you change the pattern, you get a new solution. And so some of us are looking at our marriages, and some of us are looking at what it looks like to live out a single life, and some of us are looking at what it looks like to operate in a job, and some of us are looking at our addictions and how they're destroying our lives. And we're saying, God, fix the solution. If you're going to fix the solution, start abiding with God so he can change the pattern. Go and sin no more. You might be thinking, that's so hard. Yeah, it's challenging. That's why he gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us to live in his freedom and to live victorious. That's why he gives us the body of Christ to surround us with, that we might be held accountable and to encourage one another in this journey. It's why he gives us his word, that he might reveal more of who he is and how he's calling us to live this victorious life. It's why he gives us his spirit to speak to us and order our steps in these new patterns. He doesn't leave us alone. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? I don't know where everybody's journey is, but I just, preparing for this message, just sense that there might be somebody who wants to respond. And for you this morning, I want to begin here. For you this morning, there might be somebody here that came and maybe you got drug in here. Maybe you got, somebody kind of bribed you. Hey, we'll take you to eat afterwards if you come to church with us. I don't know what the case is, But you're real skeptical about church and you're real skeptical about God and Christianity and all of those things. But at the very least, some of the things that were spoken today, you've identified maybe some broken patterns in your life and you're like, hey, I'm not sure if God can really help me with this, but I'm at least curious about the fact that maybe he could. If that's you this morning, and you're curious, here's what I believe about God, that if you seek him, you will find him. And so what if you took the risk today just to press into God and say, God, I'm curious. Reveal more of you to me. If that's you this morning, again, nobody looking around, eyes closed, heads bowed, and just slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment because I know how risky of a decision this can feel like. Just raise your hand if you're curious this morning, want to press in. Awesome. Thanks be to God. For some of you who've heard this message this morning, said, you know what? I received Christ as Lord and Savior. I've received his forgiveness for my sins, but I haven't been allowing him to shape my patterns. In fact, my patterns have been living, I kind of have gone back to the kind of the old self and the old patterns. And today I want to declare that God, I'm back. I want to step back into authentic relationship with you and not just believe that you forgive me of my sins, but actually begin to walk out the patterns that will lead to life and to leave behind the patterns that will lead to destruction. If that's you this morning and you say, hey, I'm back, God, and I want to start following you again, just raise your hand, slip your hand. I want to pray over you here in a moment. Thanks be to God. You put your hand down. And last but not least, if you're someone who said, you know what? I walked in here a bit hopeless, frustrated, hurting. And something that you said today and that was revealed through God's word began to stir within me. And I am recognizing today that I am a sinner who has broken sinful patterns in my life. And I am in need of a Savior who will provide not only forgiveness, but new patterns that lead to life and life to its fullest. And it's simple. It's just confessing. God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And if you want to begin that new life today, simply just raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you here in just a moment. Awesome. Thanks be to God. You can put your hand down. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the person who was took the risk and said, I'm curious. God, I'm not sure about everything. I have my doubts. I'm a little bit skeptical, but God, what I'm hearing, I want to learn more about. And so God, I pray that you would order their steps. And as your word says, when we seek you, we will find you because you will reveal more of yourself to us. And so God, I'm trusting your Holy Spirit just to help order that person's steps on their journey, that they might ask a friend that they brought with, that they might begin reading John 15, 15 minutes every day to just discover more about who you are. God, I thank you for the person that admits today, yeah, God, I accepted your forgiveness into my life. I recognized my need for you as a Savior a while ago, but I've never allowed you to shape the patterns of my life and never kind of allowed you to order my steps in your new ways. So God, I just want to declare today that I'm back. I'm ready. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to allow you to order my steps. I'm ready to step back into this authentic relationship and not just be something I did at one point in my life, but actually live it out daily. And then I thank you, God, for those that raised their hand and said, just as all of us who have discovered authentic relationship with you have done, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I can't fix this on my own. I don't have the answers. Thank you, God, for loving me so much. Your word says that while I was still a sinner, every one of us, while we were still a sinner, that Christ died for us. Your love pushes past all of my brokenness and my sin and my frustration, God, and you love me. You forgive me. God, now teach me to walk in your ways. We thank you, God. We ask all these things through Christ's powerful name. Amen.